Morning. Thanks to everyone who's shared so far. I'm just going to share a few passages quickly, and then we'll partake of communion together. Not going to read it, but if you turn to 1 Corinthians 11, where Paul gives instruction to the church in Corinth about partaking of the communion, he brings out two things. He says, first and foremost, we partake of communion to remember the Lord's death until he comes. So the first element of it is a remembering what God has done for us. And I think what Greg shared, called it out particularly well, and others have shared things too that help us remember the sacrifice that Christ made. But then the second thing that Paul also talks about is partaking of communion in a worthy manner, and partaking of communion in a way that is honoring to God. And Paul even says there's some consequences if we're not partaking of communion in a worthy manner. And so as I read a few passages this morning, I think they kind of highlighted for me a little bit what this can mean. And so I'm going to flip quickly, but let's maybe just start in Matthew 26. Just going to read a couple verses here, but it's good to remember what Paul is referencing when he even talks about it in Corinthians. Here Matthew records that what Jesus said when he was giving the instruction to the disciples in Matthew 26:26. He says, while they were eating, Jesus took some bread, and after blessing, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. And when he'd taken a cup and given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you, for this is the blood of the covenant, which is poured out for the forgiveness of sins. And so we see here that Jesus told his disciples that this bread represents his body, and the cup represents his blood, which is being poured out for the forgiveness of sins. And he asked them to do this to remember the breaking of his body and to remember that his blood is how we have this forgiveness of our sins. But I think it's actually even more than that. And I think for myself, as I read in John chapter 6 this morning, it kind of spoke to it at perhaps even a little bit of a deeper level, and perhaps helped me see a little bit more why Paul also says and warns us about partaking in an unworthy manner. In John chapter 6, verse 51, it says, Jesus is speaking, he says, I am the living bread that came down out of heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread also which I give for the life of the world is my flesh. Then the Jews began to argue with one another, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? So Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in yourselves. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on that last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. So here we see Jesus saying a little bit more. He's saying that this partaking of his body that we reflect on in having this communion, and this drinking of his blood, which is symbolized by the taking of the juice here, are actually symbolic of this lesson which Jesus is trying to teach the disciples here, and saying this is eternal life. Like, if you are not partaking of my flesh, if you are not partaking of the blood of Christ, you don't actually have eternal life. He actually says you have no life in yourselves in verse 53. So he's saying you have to be partaking of me. You have to be ingesting me. You have to be taking of myself and having it on the inside of you, or else you have no life in yourself. And when we partake of this, I think I want two things. If maybe what's been shared this morning could resonate with us as we partake of this communion, we can remember the sacrifice that was made, as Greg shared about. But in partaking of it, we're also saying this second part. We're saying, I have this life in myself. It's a symbolism, but it's actually, as we do this, we're entering part of this communion meal that Christ said. We're doing it. What Jesus said in this passage here, we're actually testifying to everyone here that I have his life in me and I have his blood in me. We're testifying to that by partaking of communion. And that's an awesome thing, because if we're testifying it in truth, it's wonderful. It's saying we're in the new covenant, that this life that Jesus promised is true. It's real in me. I have it. It's there. And it's a wonderful thing to be able to testify to that and to remember this together, that because Jesus died for our sins, because of his sacrifice, we can testify to that, that he is on the inside of me. His life is there. His blood is cleansing me of sin. It's true. But the converse is also true. The warning to me resonates a bit more when we think about what Paul said. Paul actually says in 1 Corinthians 11, I know we've read it lots of times to the church, but for me it was a little more real this morning. Paul actually says that people are sick and dead in the Corinthian church because they partook of communion in an unworthy manner. It seems harsh, but I think what Paul is alluding to, I think for me a little more where that's real, is because perhaps there were some there testifying to everyone that his life, I'm partaking of the body of Christ, I'm drinking of his blood, I am in this new covenant life, and all of you can see me partake of this meal with you together, partake of this sacrament with you together. But it wasn't true. It was not true. They were living a life that was contrary to that. They had hypocrisy. They had secret sin. They had things in their lives that they knew. Nobody else in the church may have known, but they knew was not right with God. And they were persisting in that. And because later on it says, we judge ourselves so that we will not be judged. Well, they weren't judging themselves. They weren't being honest with themselves or with others. And they were partaking, and therefore they were judged. And that's why it's a serious thing, because it's an honest, like as we do it together, we reflect on God's sacrifice, reflect on the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and the blessing that is. But we also testify that this is true in me, that this is real in me. And because of that, we want to take it seriously. So let's just close, or I'm just going to finish in 1 John. In 1 John verse 1, or chapter 1, verse 5, it says, this is the message we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And you may not think of this passage directly as related to what I talked about previously about partaking of the body of Christ and his blood, but I see the correlation, because in a couple of key things here, it says that in verse 6, eating and drinking of the cup in an unworthy manner. It's what it's talking about is verse 6. There's where we say we have fellowship with Christ. We say we're in the light, but we're actually walking in darkness. We lie and do not practice the truth. This is the warning. This is the same warning. Paul makes it really clear, and because of where the Corinthian church was at, he had to spell it out for them, like some are sick and dead. But this is the same warning. It's just as serious that we're practicing a lie. If you read elsewhere what John talks about practicing lie, even in this book, even in this letter he wrote, it's a very serious thing to practice a lie. He's saying if you say you're in the light, but actually in darkness, you're practicing a lie. And I don't want anybody here to be abiding in that place. And we don't want to be deceiving ourselves. If we say that we're in this place, if we say that we're in the light, we're actually walking in the darkness. Let's not deceive ourselves. That's part of the reason that Paul encourages the church to judge themselves now, so that they're not deceiving themselves. But what's also the promise here in verse 9? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So I'll maybe end with that. So as we partake of this, let's reflect on the awesome sacrifice that Christ has given, the sacrifice that once for all brought us into the new covenant, that made a way of salvation for us, that as Tim shared, gives us hope in every circumstance, gives us hope that in every circumstance, there is an opportunity to partake of the life of Christ, to know his abundance, to know his goodness, and have him lead us into a greater salvation through everything that comes, and that every one of our sins is forgiven, that the enemy can never lie to us again and tell us that somehow some sin we've committed in our past we're still held to account for, because if we've brought it before Christ, if we've confessed it to Christ and asked for his forgiveness, it is cleansed. It is forgiven. But the other promise here is that, you know what? Even as we walk this walk, there's going to be times where we need to continue to confess our sins. We need to continue to make our life right with Christ. And if that's where we find ourselves this morning, if in also partaking of this communion it causes us to reflect on some things where maybe our own hearts are being pricked or spoken to, then let's also do that this morning as well, because Jesus is very pleased with that. That is a wonderful outcome of communion, if our own hearts are challenged a little bit and caused to reflect and caused to maybe make some things right with our Savior, then praise God. That's a wonderful outcome as well. I can tell you myself, I knew communion was coming this morning, and I had some things of impatience and frustration coming out of my heart this morning, and it was good. I knew I was going to be partaking of communion, and I wanted my heart right. I repented. I said, Jesus, forgive me. I don't want to operate like this with my family, getting upset and frustrated over stupid little things. And I repented. And I'm going to partake of communion with you this morning. I'm going to partake with a clear conscience, grateful for the salvation of my Savior, grateful that once again I can continue walking in the light by humbling myself and getting right on a good standing with my Heavenly Father through the blood of Jesus Christ.